Ryan's eye blinked open. Three heartbeats later, he was gripping his 9mm Sig Sauer. The ruined church was relatively silent. The only noise was the shuffling of the horses and the mule, their shifting shapes just visible in the moonlight that seeped through the doorway. It had stopped raining in the last few minutes. Opium Well seemed relatively quiet, but something had triggered his combat reflex, something out of the ordinary. Ryan lay still. The worst thing a person could do in a suspicious situation was to make a hasty, ill-planned move. Very slowly, Ryan looked around the building, counting bodies under blankets. Unless there was something they didn't know, they were the pursuers and not the pursued, so everyone was taking a needed rest. Christy lay next to Ryan, and Dean on the other side. The boy was sleeping on his back. Then came JB and Mildred very close together, with Doc last in line beyond them. Jack was the easiest of the seven to spot, on Dean's left, his hair blazing like a warning flare. Which left, the two starving young people they'd saved, Jerry Park and Gemma from Eagles Fork in West Texas. They'd been sleeping wrapped in each other's arms, over where a corner of the old altar still stood, jagged, close by the end of the nave. Ryan narrowed his eye, straining to be sure.
Fire blast.
The couple had moved. Ryan's gut reaction was to wake everyone and search for them together. But until he knew where Jerry and Gemma were, that could be close to suicide. He faked sleep, rolling over to one side, desperately scanning the place for some clue. But Ryan still couldn't see either of them, which left two possibilities. They were aware he'd awakened and were watching him from the blackness. Jerry had claimed he had no blaster and the holster had been empty, but Ryan recalled that same holster had been well-worn. It wouldn't have been that difficult once they spotted the writers coming in for them to have hidden weapons anywhere inside the church or outside. That was the second possibility. Ryan waited, his fingers still on the trigger of the Sig Sauer. The two choices really came down to only one. The longer he stayed still beneath the blankets, the more vulnerable they all were. People didn't sneak away together in the middle of the night, unless they were up to no good. Ryan crawled out of the bedroll, waiting for the flash of fire and the boom of the blaster. But nothing happened.
Trouble?
Outside?
JB and Jack were pulled out of a shallow sleep by Ryan's movement. If Jerry and Gemma had been in the building, they'd likely have been pressured into making some sort of play by now. But there was still nothing. There was no need for any more talk between the three old friends. Ryan went first, his blaster reaching out into the darkness ahead of him, pausing at the doorway. There was no sign of life outside. JB was holding the scattergun at his hip, Jack just behind him, gripping the Colt Python. Ryan crouched and peered out, keeping perfectly still, listening and looking.
Huh.
Ryan gestured in the direction of the sound, ghosting through the door in a fighter's crouch. JB and Jack covered him from the shadows. There had been a heavy dew, and the ground was soft, making it possible for Ryan to move around the side of the church in total silence. The sound came from just ahead of him, just around the corner, where a part of the tumbled roof was still piled against the eastern flank of the building. Ryan looked behind him and made a circling motion with his free hand, sending JB and Jack around the church in the opposite direction, ready to cover any attempt to run for it from the young couple. They vanished into the blackness, and Ryan continued creeping forward, reaching the angle of the walls, looking around it. The moonlight was thin and diluted, filtered through a bank of low clouds, but it still gave enough light for him to make out Gemma and Jerry. They had their backs to him, the man kneeling by a pile of tumbled adobe and stone, burrowing away, throwing dirt between his legs like a hyperactive prairie dog. Gemma stood watching him. Ryan could see the glint of dull metal in her hands, which looked like a .22. He began to edge closer.
They'd kill us if they could.
If you say so, Jerry.
Got it.
Jerry pulled out something wrapped in oilcloth. He soon uncovered it. It was a .357. Over the years, Ryan had seen some speckled lengths of old vids played on hand-generated viewers. Some of them, most of them, had involved various ways of killing. One of the things he'd often noticed and puzzled at was how people seemed to always shout warnings to their enemies that they were about to begin shooting at them.
The fucking stoops.
He leveled the Sig Sauer. He drilled the woman between the shoulder blades. The light hadn't been good enough for a safe headshot. The 9mm bullet exited through the splintered remnants of Gemma's sternum, slicing through her lungs and heart, killing her instantly. Ryan aimed at the kneeling man, but the woman's corpse staggered a few disconnected steps, arms flailing, and dropped her blaster. She fell into the line of fire. His shot hit her under the left arm as she toppled, the full metal jacket tumbling and distorting, ripping through her ribs and chest cavity. For a starving man, Jerry Park was fast in his reflexes and faster on his feet. He dove away, rolling behind the fallen debris from the church roof and wall, managing to snap a shot off in the general direction of his attacker. The bullet whisked 15 feet past Ryan's face, making him throw himself flat.
Bastard!
Jerry's shots went high and wide. Ryan lay still and said nothing, knowing that JB and Jack would be closing in from the other side.
Ryan!
Stay where you are, Christy. Everyone keep inside. It'll soon be over. Shit.
JB and Jack still hadn't shown their hands. Ryan stared into the darkness, where he expected to see them appear.
Come out, son. You got no chance. Throw down the blaster and just walk away. And keep walking.
No food and water. And you butchered Gemma, you shithead bastard!
You were aiming to chill us, boy.
I wanted to steal some food and a couple of horses, that was all.
Come out, Jerry.
You'll chill me. I don't trust you.
Ryan half smiled. The young man was right. If he'd come out and thrown down his blaster, Ryan would have shot him down without a moment's compunction. This wasn't a game. For several long seconds, nobody spoke. The woman had died, lying sprawled near the small pit where the blasters had been concealed. Ryan caught a glimpse of something white at the far angle of the church's wall. Jack's hair. That meant JB would be there as well. If they all opened fire, the young man would have no chance. But that meant wasting a lot of ammo. And ammo in Deathlands was more valuable than a handful of Jack. It'd be like dropping a brick of gold to crush a rat.
I give you a count of five, Jerry. Then it's finished. One, two, three.
Though he must have realized his position was totally helpless, the skinny young man made a try for it. He came out firing, jinking to left and right, then sprinting straight toward where Ryan was lying in the dirt. He stretched out the Sig Sauer, holding his right wrist in his left hand for extra steadiness and accuracy. Jerry was around 50 feet away from him. Ryan put one bullet into the man's stomach just above the belt, the second a handspan higher. The first shot would have killed Jerry Park, slowly. The second one did the job a whole lot faster. His gun went flying into the night sky, landing 30 yards behind him. It seemed like Jerry's feet had broken away from him, moving under their own control, sending him staggering to his left, his arms flailing, his mouth open.
Downfall.
Jack stepped out into the open at the far angle of the church's walls. Mildred emerged with the others from the doorway.
Why?
Guns. Horses.
You had no choice? You had to kill both those distressed and hungry young people?
Ryan holstered his Sig Sauer.
No, Mildred, I didn't have to chill them both. I could easily let them chill us.
It must be easy being you.
Mildred turned away and walked back into the Adobe building. Dean Carter was the first of them to go out, with the earliest light of morning still an hour away. The air was fresh and cool, and the land lay under a pale pinkish glow. Inside the Opium Wells Church, the rest of the party was readying itself and all the animals for another hard day's riding. Dean picked his way outside, pausing to listen. His father had warned everyone that the carrion lying by the church wall could attract the desert scavengers.
Looks like the coast is clear.
Dean unzipped his dark blue pants and readied himself to urinate. Suddenly, a hard hand clamped itself over his nose and mouth. Dean felt the hot pain of a knife point pressing in beneath his right ear. A ruby of warm blood inched down his neck, vanishing into the collar of his shirt.
Be still, little one. Very, very still. And those dark ones, the night winds, might not visit you for many years.
Dean considered trying to get at his own turquoise-hilted knife, but he had enough sense to realize the utter futility. The hand smelled of horses and was extremely strong, and there was the odor of male sweat and bear grease.
We might not wish you harm, child, but we must know who is inside and where they go. I will slowly take away my hand, and you will answer my questions, or you will sleep forever in the long blackness. Do you understand me?
Dean was ready to try to bite the hand, kick backward, scream like a banshee, and run like hell. His guess was that one of the Navajo had been backtracking, maybe heard the sound of the two shots from the Sig Sauer, and returned to scout out what was happening.
My knife will drink deep if you even begin to think of a stoop plan. Now my hand is moving.
Dean was ready to act, and then thought if the man was a Navajo, then they might even have a commonality of interest against the general.
I won't shout.
It is good. How many of you?
Plenty.
Blasters?
Ditto.
This is good to hear.
Guinea.
Yes, he is a bit of a chicken hawk.
With the second voice, Dean suddenly realized that the entire hunting party could be surrounding him. The man holding the knife to his throat spoke again.
There was shooting, boy. We would know what happened, and we would know what you do out here in our lands above the Grandy. Do not seek death before your time, boy.
The hand moved away once more. Dean licked his lips.
My dad didn't raise me to be a triple stoop, mister.
So what do you do here?
We aim to chill the general and every one of his cocksucking gang of bloody murderers.
You chased the general?
Yeah. And you're the band of Navajo that we know's been chasing the fuckers as well.
This is true.
Woman we know and her little baby. And another real good friend all got chilled by the general.
Tekelechika.
The man holding him leaned closer and whispered into his ear.
The small ranch beneath the hills.
Yeah.
We passed by it, but we did not stop. We were also hurt much by this general and his murderers. If we knew that the ranch had been attacked, then we...
wouldn't have done nothing. Already way too late for him.
The point of the knife had moved away from his neck, and the tension had eased.
We had best speak with...
We got six blasters on you, mister.
The hand jammed across Dean's mouth again. The edge of the blade laid across the front of his throat. The man holding Dean was so powerful that he effortlessly held the lad off the ground, his feet flailing helplessly.
Do not fire, or the boy dies.
We all will.
You can't see us.
I see all nine of you. Big man holding Dean got checked shirt and long hair tied it back with ribbon. Wanna know more?
Kakta, I know it's an ambush.
You think this is a standoff, but it's not. The worst that happens to us is that you slit the throat of my son. Now that'd be a bad thing, but I guess that one day I'd manage to get over it. But if you do that, every one of you dies. We'll make sure the bodies get mutilated and blinded. Give you all a triple bad time to crawl through eternity.
Boy says you after the general. Tell me.
Dean kept still, knowing that there was nothing he could do to help his father and the others. The only consolation he was able to find was the fact that not many people actually wanted to get themselves killed.
A friend of ours, the one that sees in the night, had a spread up north. A fine wife and a baby there. Another young man was staying with him while the rest of us went hunting.
What is the name of the young one who can see so well in the dark?
Apaches called me Eyes of Wolf. I nearly married Steps Lightly Moon. Name among Anglos is Jack Lauren.
You are the one with the hair like snow.
Yeah.
My people know about you. A friend to us. It is said that your woman and baby and friend were all sent into the beyond by the general.
That's right. We figured that you and your people might also have a grudge. Be chasing him. Might even know where the Coldheart son of a bitch has his headquarters. Could be we could ride together on this.
Let me speak a while with my brothers on this. What is your name?
Ryan Carter. The Apaches called me One-Eye Chills. Let the boy go before you start talking.
He is our only card.
Dean could almost see his father's grim, lopsided smile.
Not even the two of clubs, mister. Not when we got a fistful of aces back here.
The Navajo let go of Dean's mouth.
How many, boy? The truth. How many of them?
Six. Got scatter guns and an Uzi automatic. Star rifle with a night scope. True what Dad says. You can chill me and nobody could stop you. But then...
A threat from a child.
It's not a threat. It's a promise. Best you believe me.
The knife disappeared, and he was pushed firmly in the direction of his father.
They let Dean go.
Over here, boy.
Dean's eyes had adjusted to the darkness, and he could make out the group of six friends, standing or kneeling in a loose semicircle, about 30 paces away from the whispering Indians.
Tekelechika.
It sounds as though our putative allies are a little undecided.
which reminds me of the time I stood astride the Continental Divide on one of my camping trips of yesteryear. There was a sign that said that it was the place for the undecided raindrop.
How's that again, Doc?
Well, my dear Miss Roth, it is simple. It was one of the points in the old United States where a drop of rain might be carried either to the east or the west, to the Pacific or to the Atlantic Ocean or the Gulf.
What if it fell?
We have spoken.
And?
We will come and talk more.
That's good to hear.
The general was better known among the isolated communities of the Native Americans than among the Flea-Pitvilles of the Anglos. The leader of the Navajo, whose name was Sleeps in Day, told Ryan and the rest of the group about the attacks by the heavily armed band of killers.
General is not a stoop. He knows that to tackle any baron in the southwest could lead to defeat. Though he has 2 wags, once he had 3, and 20 or so men and women, he would lose against Sec forces.
So he picks on ranches and the honey camps of your people?
It is so. We have blasters, but not many. They are old and much repaired. Few repeating rifles, no grins.
How did the general come to lose his 3rd wag?
The powerfully built Navajo smiled, his teeth white in the dawn that was now creeping fast across the land.
A number of the young men of the Comanche were clever and lucky. The wag was trapped in soft sand crossing a river. There was much driftwood and dried branches close by.
The evil men were like rabbits in a cooking oven. Their cries made our Comanche brothers smile for many long minutes.
This is true, 2 dogs fighting.
They burned them?
Yes. Piled brushwood around under cover of night. Kept them trapped in their useless wag with arrows. Then set them on fire.
What did the general do? How come he didn't try and save his wag?
The general is not a brave man, Cawdor. Only the coldest of meltwater trickles through his body. He saved himself and abandoned his followers to the dreadful death they deserved.
What'd he do to make you chase?
The Navajo looked across impassively at the albino teenager.
What they did to your woman, the one who was kind and walked crookedly. And to the baby, the general did that to our women, to our little ones.
9 of our people were murdered.
9?
Christy shook her head, her long hair seeming to discharge a shower of bright sparks into the cool morning air.
Gaia, damn it. We owe it to the land to cleanse it of this man, don't we, lover?
Yeah, babe. So, Sleeps in the Day, you have any idea where the general holds up?
They have their home camp in the place where there is always night.
Caves.
Yes, there are many bats in the caves, creatures of the dark. It is right for the general.
Then we best go pay him a visit. And soon.
After the first brightness of the dawn, the sky darkened once more, as though time were being reversed and night was looming over the far horizon. Ryan hunched his shoulders against the cold norther that was blowing across the foothills.
Some serious rain gonna be falling.
It drops upon the general as well.
Sleeps and Days smiled grimly.
The gods are with us, brothers.
JB heeled his gelding alongside Ryan.
Those wags can get through most kinds of weather, but a flash flood would slow them down some.
The sky to the south was as black as pitch.
12 to 15 miles, Dad.
How far to the caves?
"'Tis half a day at a fast ride. A full day if we go more slowly and more carefully.
Other side of these hills, 2 dogs?
There is an old blacktop there we will cross. The camp of the general is hidden beneath the land, very deep.
Any of your people made inside?
Jack rubbed his white hands together, feeling the morning cold more than the rest of them.
No, not to return alive.
Time's wasting. Let's go.
The Navajo leader held up a hand.
A moment. So that we are all sure of what is happening.
How do you mean?
We ride together against the general.
Sure.
Ryan puzzled at what the check-shirted Navajo was leading up to.
If we win?
Then he gets chilled and we all go home.
Who chills him? Who will count coup on this shadow from the dead world?
Me. Anyone does it, it'll be me.
We have lost more white hair. Every man has lost a wife, or a sister, or a child.
The teenager's bloodless lips peeled back of his sharp teeth in a feral, dangerous smile.
Then we see. Man gets there first, gets to do it.